Thank you, guys. Wow, thanks for being here, joining together as family. Amen. Visitors and home folks alike. We're all family. The Bible says we can have one mind, one spirit, right? You wonder how that's possible when we all have different appetites, callings, personalities. It's because we can all wake up for the same reason. We all wake up to bear witness of His image. We all wake up to walk like Him. Amen? So in the midst of your different callings and your diversity of giftings in your life and flavors and appetites, we can still be one. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that Jimmy and I don't look alike, but we can both look like Him? Amen. Come on. That's a big deal. We look different. You know Him by the way He looks, and you know me by the way I look. You know He's Jimmy, you know I'm Dan, but we can both look like Him. Amen. That's what makes us one. Come on, that's a big deal. That Neck Ministries thing, I don't know why I'm taking the time to share this, but I'll do it real quick. I don't know if I was quite a year old in the Lord, but I was reading how the body has need of each other and how the Lord talks about the hand and the foot and the eye. And He says that, don't say you don't have need of thee, and we all work together as one. And I thought, this is cool. I can get this. I said, together we make up the whole of who you are as a people. And I was like, walking in my living room, between there and the dining room, there's a little archway, and I had my Bible open, and nobody was home but me and Jesus. And I'm just talking plain like if you were sitting at the dining room table and I was talking to you, because that's our relationship with Him, true? And I was like, Lord, this is exciting to me. I can get this. I said, man, we all play a part together to make up the whole of who you are, the body of Christ. That's neat. I said, I don't know if this is a good question, a fair question, a viable question, but am I a certain part of the body, or does that interchange? Is that seasonal, or what am I? And I said, I don't even know if it's a question. And as soon as I got it out of my heart, did you ever have the Lord just respond to you and speak to your heart where you heard His voice really clear? He said, Dan, I'm raising you up in the body of Christ to be a neck in the body of Christ. And I said, a neck? I was like, a neck? I didn't know. I was like, a neck? And I heard the Lord. This reverence thing came over me. This holy thing comes over me that I just started to cry, because it's like He whispered to me. He said, yeah, to help hold the body fast to the head. And I just started crying. And it's something about it just felt special and holy and reverent. And I just said, okay. Well, years went by. I was pastoring for a while. And then I started traveling. And it came a point in time where the CPA in my life said, who God just gave me, He's a blessing. He said, you're going to have to be identified like a ministry, a name. I know you're not into that at all, because He knows me. And He said, I know, you know, you're not. But just for location, identification, the IRS, just knowing who you are. And it just came, before he even got finished, I just said, Net Ministries. And he said, oh, net, N-E-T, Net Ministries? That's creative. That's cool. I said, no, neck. He said, neck? I said, yeah, helping hold the body fast ahead. And he's like, okay. Well, I guess that'll work for now, you know, whatever. But they did a web search, and there's not a ministry in the world with the name Neck in it. That excites me. So, amen. So what about preaching the word? You ready? I feel real happy in my heart. I just got some things stirring in me. This morning, I was real sober, but I don't know what it was. It's different right now to me in my heart, because it's just different. I just go with the flow. I don't repeat sermons. I don't preach sermons. I just pour out my heart, by the way, because that way I can never get off my notes or miss my notes. I'm just flowing. But did you guys tape this morning? Did you guys tape it? No?
Yes,
yeah?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
One saying no, one saying yeah. But would you believe we did? Okay. I don't usually say this, but it's just a good, well, I don't know how you would put it. It's Pastor and I were talking, because I said it about six times today. I wasn't preaching this morning. I was preaching because we're bad people or we got wrong hearts. Sometimes life sneaks up on you. Sometimes subtle mindsets evolve or come back that we used to live by. And sometimes we never let go of some that were already supposed to be gone. And a message like we preached this morning, it just might be helpful to just get something like that and listen to it every couple months. Just stay sharp and sober and not lose sight of why your feet are on the planet. Because if you do that, life will start speaking louder than truth. And life will start fashioning you instead of His hand. And you'll start looking like the life you're going through instead of the one that lives inside of you. And the whole big deal of Christianity is looking like your Father. It's bearing witness to His image, because man was made for the image of God. Now, I just want to talk to you about something. It's really exciting. I got a good word. I'm not going to talk like I talked this morning, probably at large, but some of those things will pop out. But I want to share some good news with you, because the gospel means good news. And the angel in the shepherd's field lit up the place and said, I'll bring you good tidings of great joy. Which means if we really understand the good tidings, great joy is the automatic response. And I'm not talking about painting on a happy face. I'm talking about your heart exploding with understanding, because you're in fellowship with God and He loves you, and joy is unspeakable. Okay? Because I'm a pretty excited fella. Now, when I preach, I try to relate to you. I suppress it a little. That's not limiting God. He understands what I'm doing, because I'm pretty alive inside. And I'm not here to freak you out or make you question me or think, is this guy for real? I'm not here to do that. I'm here to speak the word of God. But I'm telling you, you're going to see passion in me. I get talking in a minute on a couple of things that are in my heart right now. I'm going to be a little happy, all right? I can't do anything about it. People say, I love your joy. I say, it's not my fault. I am not taking blame for it. I was never joyful before. You wouldn't have wanted to be around me. You would not have gave me this microphone before Jesus. I had attitude, I was mean, I was proud, I was jealous, and I didn't like you unless you'd have done me good. I had no reason to like you unless you'd have earned that. It's because I was a fallen man, and I was void of life and didn't have Christ, and I was born up and grown up in the world. Born in the world and grown up in the world. So what seemed right was way wrong, and it had nothing to give. And I lived at the expense of people, and people determined me. One day Jesus knocked on the door of my heart. Now, I went to church till I was 20, but then I got born again. It's true. It's not a joke. I just went to church because it was the thing I was supposed to do, and wanted to go to heaven because if that place is real, I probably should go there. So you probably go to church, make sure you're in the right place if He does come. It's just how limited I was. But for those 20 years, all I was ever taught, it might not be your background, and I'm not mad at people, but all I was ever taught was Jesus died because you're a sinner. Jesus died because you're a sinner. Jesus died because you're a sinner. And you need to get right with God. He died because you're a sinner. Now, I understand there's a truth to that scripturally, but it's so much bigger than that. It's ridiculous. In fact, I learned when I got saved and got in a bedroom reading my Bible that He didn't die because I was a sinner. He died because I was a lost son. He had to die because I sinned, but the reason He died was to redeem my value and get me back. Why would He die because I'm a sinner? If I'm a sinner, just leave me a sinner. Don't die for that. Did you get it? So if He died, then He didn't leave me a sinner. Yay! If you think you sin while you're breathing, get born again. I didn't wake up to sin today. I woke up to be a son. I didn't wake up for life to go good. I woke up to be like Him. I didn't wake up for you to do me right. I woke up to love you. And it keeps me real free. And not under your power, but under the power of God. And then I always have something to give. Why? Because I've become. You get it? So here's the good news. Jesus came in Luke 24 that repentance and the forgiveness of sin would be preached to every nation. I think we've done a great job preaching repentance, but I think we've made that even a little legalistic and tight. We just think it's boo-hoo, I'm sorry, every week. Repentance isn't boo-hoo, I'm sorry for my life, and I know I'll be back here again because I'm a mess up. That is not repentance. There's a way you could preach in the church and have the same people at the altar every week crying because we don't understand righteousness in the gospel. And I won't preach that way. I'm going to tell you who you are today because Jesus died and rose again. And there's really nothing you can do about it but receive it or fail to walk in it, but it's still true. Because you can't make God stop loving you. On your darkest day, He didn't lose sight of who He created you to be. On your deepest, most darkest act of rebellion, he looked and said, that is not who I made you to be. That isn't even you. You don't know who you are, but I do. And he never lost sight of who you are, because love never fails and truth is truth. So if God made you for his image, if you're not living up to his image, he still knows that's your potential. He still knows that's your destiny. He still knows that's your created value. So what's he do? He sends his son to pay the price to get the lie off of you so one day you can see and believe and the truth can come and fill you and change you. Yay. It's not just to forgive her and put her in some reservation space for heaven. Come on, the gospel is not a passport to heaven. It's heaven getting back inside of you. And it's you becoming what you were always created to be, sons and daughters of the living God, filled with his spirit and full of his nature. Amen. It's what the gospel's all about. Repentance and the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. Repentance is very simply change the way you think. Just think different. We grew up thinking for ourselves. We grew up thinking in the world. And now we need to think, grow up thinking heaven for the kingdom of God, his righteousness and others. Come on, they went into the wilderness, the children of Israel. It's a pretty amazing thing. God sent some serious plagues. God rocked Egypt. And God turned Pharaoh's heart to the place at least where he finally said, Uncle, let him go. Even though he was hard and even though he chased him down later. And that all got taken care of too because God did an amazing thing. He let all those people go and Egypt flooded them with all their riches and stuff and said, just get out of here. Took them into the wilderness. The reason they wanted to go there, he said, to sacrifice to our God. That's a form of worship. So the reason they went into the wilderness was to worship God. How do you worship God? By trusting God, by believing God, by yielding to God. It's not singing a song. It's giving your life to him with full trust and wholehearted obedience. A life lived in him is the highest form of worship. It's not a song sung. Even songs are awesome and I love all this. What I'm saying is worship's bigger than that. So they went into the wilderness to trust God, to believe God, to be empowered by God, so that when they went into these nations, the nations would go, wow, and know God because of his people. But when they got in the wilderness, they made a big mistake. They thought for themselves. And they somehow thought it was all about them. And they started saying things like, it'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. They started complaining. That seems normal to the average human being. It's not normal to heaven. The Bible says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Why? Because it's not about you anymore. It's not about how you feel. It's not about how people are treating you. It's about who he is inside of you. So you do all things without grumbling and complaining. Why? So the world sees you're innocent and harmless in the midst of their twisted and perverse motivations. And you shine as a light in their life and hold forth the word of life through your life. Not just preach. Your life. You get it? Yay. Right before he says that in Philippians 2, he says, it's God working in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Therefore, do all things without grumbling and complaining. How many things?
All
things. Says in Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 10, don't complain like they did in the wilderness and be destroyed by the destroyer like they were. Why? Because complaining reveals self-centered motivation and now you're a target. Because it's all about you, so it's an easy thing to touch. Just touch you. How do you touch a dead man? How do you touch a man that's become love, that's selfless, that considers others more highly than himself? How do you touch Jesus? You don't. The ruler of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me, Jesus said. Yeah. And as the Father sent him, he sent us. And he told us to follow him, not just sing to him. Yay. Come on, this thing is real. Don't ever teach yourself religion. Don't just go to church. Be the church. Don't just attend a gathering to find identity and to fulfill a spiritual conviction. Know Jesus and walk with Jesus and be in relationship with him and love God so you can love one another. Throw away attitudes. Throw away anger, frustration, and anything that doesn't produce life. Throw away everything that judges people and weighs them less than the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because while we were yet sinners, God sent his Son. Why we were living unholy, he sent his Son. Why? Because he knew we're more than what we were producing. And he did not judge the book by its cover. He looked deeper to its created value. Man in God's image. Oh. So God knows who we are. And the whole journey for the Christian is finding out who he is because God already knows. Nobody would pay such a high, ridiculous price as the blood of their own son if the thing purchased didn't have incredible value to the buyer. He's not reserving a space in heaven. He's getting you back into the family so he can father you and you be his children. So that he can get back inside of you and live inside of you. Because that's where he created you to live. He doesn't want to live anywhere else. He wants to live in you. Sin evicted him from his home. So he dealt with the problem and moved back in. It's a pretty big deal. So we ought to just get over false humility and me, myself, and I. And yeah, but you don't know where I've been and what I've done. But where's he been and what has he done? I've been a house fit for a king and hadn't even known it. I'm prime real estate. I understand now. See, it's good tidings of great joy. Or life is speaking louder than truth to you. And you'll be deceived by human attitudes and human wisdom and whatever. That's the fall of man. That's called a hard heart. It's called rightness. And you're wrong. Do you get it? I'm not being mean. I'm being real. Because you were made to produce life. You were made to manifest life. You were made to shine light, not have issues and attitudes. And if you're walking around with a chip on your shoulder, it's because you've been bitten by the world. Not everybody has treated me right in the 17 years of my salvation. But Jesus has done me real good. And he's the one that dominates my character, my nature, and my response to you. He didn't just come and love me so that I can hate you and judge you. He came and loved me so that I understand love so that I can finally love you. He got me free from me so I can be free from you so I can finally love you. Because the only reason you can't love people is because it's all about you. And that's what needs to die. Because unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him, you can't enter into the kingdom, it says. Wow. Why do you deny yourself? You were never made for you. You're made for the image of God. So all the rights we inherited through sin, we have to let go. Everything God's asking you to give up is what you never were in the first place. He's not asking you to give anything that you ever were. He's telling you to give up the lie. Why is it so hard to give up what we never were? Why do we covet a life that we don't really like? Come on. You want everybody to love you because you don't even like you. And if they love you, it gives you some hope that you're likable. Be real with me. You're in desperate need to be appreciated because you think you're junk. Why do you hold on to that? Just throw it away and become treasure. Don't let it be about you. Let it be about him. See, we could get free already. See, this thing is all about dying to yourself. You're free when you're free from you. It's not the devil. The devil's not the big bad boogeyman. He just works with what you give him. I mean, he is a jerk. He is a loser. He is darkness. I understand that. What I'm saying is he's not your problem. I don't even think about him. He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. Why would I give him a stage? I don't even think about him. I go weeks on end and don't even think about him. And he doesn't even get in my way. And if he does, we deal with that real quick. But because we do that, he doesn't show up like he used to. I don't even think about him. I think about Jesus. I think about you. Yeah. Yeah, man, I feel good right now. Raw. You ought to feel that. Whoa. You know what else I don't think about? I don't think about sin. Why? Because he made me righteous and I'm his son. And it's not thinking about sin that's going to make me live better. It's thinking about who I've become that's going to make me live better. If you become a good tree, you'll bear good fruit. Stop trying to bear good fruit. Just be a good fruit tree. The fact that you're trying to bear good fruit tells that you care and your heart's pure. The fact that you're even trying to bear good fruit means you have a good heart inside and the gospel's touched you and you care. But you're never going to change by trying to do better. You're going to change by realizing who you've become because of him. And grace, she's understanding. And grace is going to live your life for you. See, how many people can relate to this? We hear Jesus say amazing things like, you know a tree by its fruit, or a good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit, so therefore you know a tree by its fruit. And we go, oh, and we get real fruit conscious. True? And we're like, oh my God, I wonder what I look like. Oh. We picture Jesus looking through the leaves of the fig tree and going, nothing? So we try harder to do better, to assure what we say we are. And that's backwards. And you'll never arrive to the place of righteousness because you can't earn it. It's never about the fruit before the tree. It's always about the tree before the fruit. If you make a tree good, so there's hope for every tree, huh? So it doesn't matter what you see on them branches, it matters what you do with the tree. If you make a tree good, guess what happens to its fruit? It'll be good. So the fruit's automatic. It's in your being. It's in your faith before God. It's in receiving His love and His righteousness. God is so good. On my most ugly day, He didn't lose sight of me. I didn't earn a thing, and the kingdom of God lives inside of me. I never even tried to change. He paid the price for my redemption. On a lost, dark night, when I thought I hated my wife, I had my eyes on a younger lady, and I was painting my own future, He came and saved me. And then 30 minutes later, I thought of my wife and knew for the first time in my life I loved. Why? Because I prayed a prayer to go to heaven? No. Because love came inside of me. And I didn't hate her anymore because I realized it wasn't her fault. I never lived for truth. I never lived for God. I blamed her for my life and made her my excuse. And she is not my excuse. I'm accountable before God. She is not my potter. She's my wife. So I released her and cried and said, God, forgive me for putting her in that position. See how heaven changed everything? Before that, you'd have talked to me at the lunch table and I'd have ran my wife down and made her a piece of junk. And I'd have gave you every reason why I'm the way I am, and it's all because of her. And the average mindset and even the church goes, wow, I'm sorry she's like that, man. Man, I see why you're so hurt. I'm not to wake up for her to live for me. I'm to wake up to love her. In her shoes, she wakes up to love me. I don't hold her accountable to that. I'm a man of God. I just fulfill what I'm created for. I don't fulfill her vows for her or try to make her fulfill them. I walk in integrity. And I don't elbow her and say, I remember what you said that day. You know, you're only like 2 out of 5. I love her. I don't need her. I love her. We think you're like, no, you want to need her. People want to be needed. That's weird. The only reason you want to be needed is because you haven't been received. Because you haven't let God love you and wash you and receive who you really are. And now you're trying to find yourself through people needing you, and that gives you value. That's twisted. Because then you're only as good as people needing you. Come on. Can you take it? Are you okay, ma'am? She'll be all right. Watch this. The good news of the gospel is repentance and remission of sins. It's Luke 24. When Jesus raised from the dead, He said it's why He came, that repentance and remission of sins. Repentance is a simple change of your mind. Now, I want you to see how powerful repentance is. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, right? He said that. Where did He say that? Acts chapter 2, first day of Pentecost. First New Testament, Spirit-led, anointed, Spirit-filled gospel message to the world. True? Yay. Guess what He said right before He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. He said, you killed Jesus. You killed the Prince of Life. Pilate was willing to release Him, but you cried out for Barabbas. You killed the Son of God. That's really what was happening. And they went, by conviction of the Holy Ghost, they went, oh. and for the first time realized and admitted they were guilty of the death of the Son of God and knew that they played into the hands of deception and actually killed their Savior. That's a pretty serious indictment. That's a pretty shocking reality. Come on, that's not shoplifting. We killed the Messiah. It says they were cut to the heart. Come on, this thing isn't a Hollywood movie. They were tearing their clothes, falling on the ground, pulling their hair. In their culture, they'd tear their clothes and throw dust. Don't think there wasn't a dust cloud. Come on, they were convicted of the death of the Son of God. And there was men in that circle that knew they yelled Barabbas' name. And now they're realizing they were deceived. And they're so guilty. And they're going, oh my God. And one of them cried out, men, brothers, what should we do? Because it doesn't sound like there's anything you can do but die. And guess what Peter said? Repent. Change the way you think. Wish you didn't kill him. Get in the water and get baptized for the remission of your sins and enter in and just become sons. What? It's called the justice of heaven. It's called the mercy of God. It's called if a man's heart changes, God says then it's no longer the man that did the crime. If you'd sit and be my buddy and we'd talk about our lives and we'd reminisce and say, man, I remember I did this boneheaded thing back. And we'd laugh and talk about it through the blood that we're saved, not in a bad way. And just say, yeah, I remember one time, man, I was so. And we'd be like, wow, Jesus, thanks for changing us and everything. But here's the deal. We'll never answer for those things we're talking about. We'll never stand before God and answer for it. And when I would look at him and he'd look at me and say, could you ever imagine doing that again? He'd say, man, I'd never do it. If I had a chance, I'd go back and change that. But see, he can't. It was done. But guess what? He didn't do it. The man that used to be dead. It's a brand new man because he changed. It's the power of the gospel. Oh. The instant they were convicted, they wished they could have done it over and took back the words Barabbas. But they can't. They already shouted and he already died. And now they're going, oh! But God knows that regret would destroy you because regret's the way of the world. And unfortunately, it's in the church. Regret will destroy you. You can't go back and change where you've been. You can't go back and change what you've done. But you can change who you are by getting alone with Him and surrendering and letting Him purify your heart and change you from the inside. And men might remember what you did. And men might remember where you went. But God knows you've changed. Ugh. You can accuse me of anything before Christ. You are wrong. That man's dead. You're not looking at the same man. Ah! And that's why I have a clear conscience before God. That's why I have no trouble letting Him love me and live inside of me. My veil is lifted. I'm in love. Amen. You get it? I'm a beautiful bride. Yes. Yay. He loves me. Not for where I've been and what I've done. He loves me for who He made me to be. And He has never changed because love never fails and truth changes not. And all through my life, He held fast to my created value, my destiny, and my ability to leave an eternal legacy. And one day I saw and was changed. All you have to do is be willing. Don't you let life beat you so bad that you have an attitude. Don't you let life trick you so bad that you think God isn't good. If God wasn't good, He wouldn't have sent His innocent Son to heal and restore our guilty lives. Come on, don't think you have too much on the potter when you're the clay. That's a sure sign of pride and the fall. Don't be so intelligent that you've found fault with God. That would be the devil. It's called the rationale of man. It's called the wisdom of the world and not God. I don't care how much your mind justifies your attitude towards God. It is wrong. He sent His Son while we were yet sinners. He has done everything to make it right, not add pain to your life. We just don't understand. We're in a war. We have weapons. We fail to use them. We still speak death, and we don't grow up into Jesus. And then when all hell breaks loose, we blame God. Selfish, 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 deceived, deceived, deceived. Let's grow up in Jesus. Is it all right if I talk that plain? Because you can tell I'm not mad at you. I'm just talking plain. It seems like truth makes us free. We ought to speak it, not be too thin-skinned to hear it. Yeah, if you get ruffled feathers, pluck them out. You get naked before your God so He can clothe you rightly. Ooh, write that down. I'm going to preach that sometime. I like that one. Write that for, I'll preach that later. I'm going to preach that next church I go to. No. Are you guys all right? Good, because it'd be a shame if I'm doing this good and you ain't all right. Because I'm going to have a blast, man. Yahoo! Do you know I'm going to get seatbelted beside somebody on a plane today? And they can't even go nowhere? And they're going to look at me and probably say, so why were you here? How are you doing? And it's over. It's over. Oh! Life is good. Yeah, but will your flight be on time? Who cares? Will you get delayed? Whatever, it's not my life, remember. Yeah, but you missed your flight. A lot of people around the love now. Oops. While I'm waiting for the next plane, somebody can just get an encounter. Rather than sit there and sulk and wonder where God's grace is in your life because you missed your flight. You see, the children of Israel, that's how they thought. Why wasn't my plane on time? God, where have you been? Well, where's the water? Where's the food? This is no 5-star Hilton. Where's the milk and honey? Moses, you're a pitiful leader. Where's the milk and honey? God, you're no God at all because it's hot, it's ugly, it's not scenic, and it's dry, and we're thirsty. What's up? Come on! And they thought it was all about them and God taking care of them. Instead of them seeing who God is and trusting Him in the midst of anything and everything. And when it looks like nothing, it's something because He's there. Doesn't matter where you are, if He's there. And that's what they forgot. And what did they do in that wilderness? They wandered for 40 years and the whole generation of them died there and never reached their destiny. It's a sad, sad story. And Paul says, we write these things for your admonition so you don't make the same mistakes. That's what he says in Corinthians 10. So now you got Jesus, generations later coming, and the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness. And in 40 days, he fulfills what they failed in 40 years. Same wilderness, same temptations, same devil, same God. Different perspective. They were selfish. He was selfless. They wandered and died. He came out with the Spirit and power. Same wilderness. Same God. Different motivation. That's how critical this thing is. I'm going to say something really straight and strong. You think for yourself, you will wander and die. You think for God and His name and others, you will live and you will walk in the anointing and power. How's that for straight? If I'm a friend, I'll talk to you like that. Or I'll preach some rosy thing and make your heart warm. Young people, listen. If you'll learn what it means to deny yourself and not live for your own namesake and live for the glory of God and live for the sake of others, you will understand God's anointing and power. You won't lose heart in life and you won't just get hurt and backwards and feel rejected and feel like you don't fit in because He's in you and you're in Him and that's a good fit.
Yeah? Good fit. Yeah. It's a good fit, honey. You get it?
I'm not just talking to them, I'm talking to us. So Jesus comes out in the Spirit and power. Christians by the score in my 17 years have come to me and said, pray for me, brother. I'm going through a wilderness. As they must be the Israelites. Sure ain't Jesus's. What it means is you get your eye on the trial, the pressure, how it's affecting you. You start questioning God, take it personal, and lose everything. And make it all about you. And now God's a genie in a bottle or a busboy, or he's in question. And he doesn't get a good tip because he hasn't waited your table very well. Come on. That is not who God is. He's our Father. And he's revealing who he is to us so that we can reveal him to the world. So it looks a little dry and it looks a little lifeless in front of you, but he's life and he's in you. We probably don't have a problem. Come on. You come out of your tent in the morning. Can you imagine how deceived you can get? Their clothes are growing up on them. There's no feeble among them. They saw all them plagues. They watched the Red Sea go poof and slowly made it about them and forgot about him. So after a while, this provision's fallen on the ground called manna. It means, what is it? Because what is it? But it sure is keeping them alive. It's a type and shadow of the bread that was to come down from heaven. The sustenance of God, the provision of God, the life, the salvation of God. The bread of life. So they come out, and it's a good thing. God is so sharp. Who believes God knows what he's doing? He's wise. He's been around a while. He said, just take enough for one day. Why? Because he wants them to trust him every day. He wants them to walk in this thing every day and not lose sight every day. Because I'll tell you what, if you could heap enough up for a week, you'd just live in the flesh for a week. Burp and sleep and just live in the flesh and forget God because you're settled for a week. And after that week, his provision's up. Now we got to press into God. Hello? Because somehow we've reduced him to meeting our needs instead of transforming our lives. Somehow the church in America is running the fine line risk of making it all about him blessing you instead of transforming you. And there is thousands of Christians today sitting in churches that deep in their heart are discouraged because God hasn't pulled through in their circumstances. But we have presented the gospel that way. And we have made faith all about provision instead of partaking of his divine nature. I'm not saying this church. I'm not saying you. I'm saying at large. And there is a lot of discouragement in the body of Christ because we feel like God hasn't pulled through. And in crisis, we don't know how to respond like him. In injustice, we don't know how to love like him. We're questioning him why he's letting us go through this and why it's happening in the first place, because it's about us, not him in us. Come on now, this is the kind of preaching we don't really like. It makes us uncomfortable, but it's straight, clear, crystal clear. And let it convict your heart and keep you from that lie. Because if you're discouraged, who's your eyes on? And then you say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Did you hear what you just said? You're not a product of what you're going through. You're a product of what he went through so that you can see clearly what you're going through and shine as a light. Because the trials come to the wise and the foolish, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. Why? Because he's showered your heart with truth and he's changed your perspective so it doesn't destroy you. You manifest him. And when people do you wrong, you look more like him. When your circumstances are shaking, you just look more like him. When the devil touches you, you look more like him. You're not a person in trouble. You have an answer. Him. You seek him in the secret. And he who is in secret sees you there and rewards you in the open. What? Him. What are you seeking? Him. What's your reward? Him. It must be all about him. Wow. Let us make man in our image. It's all about him. You have the great privilege of manifesting him. Your life is a gift with a purpose. Come on, you don't put metal in a microwave. You put metal in a microwave, you'll destroy it. You live for yourself, you'll destroy it. Because you're not made for you. You're made for him. Man, that was good. You have to understand your created value, the manufacturer's handbook. You're created with a purpose. The reason we got in so much trouble, the reason our hearts are so hurt, the reason we're so in despair, the reason we're so crushed is because you don't understand why we're here and who we are. And somehow it's all about me. No, it's all about Him. And when it's all about Him, guess who it else becomes about? All about you. And now I put on the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2. All of a sudden, I'm honored to possess the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, who made Himself of no reputation, even though He was a son in the image of God, even though He was full of God, even though He was equal with God. He made Himself of no rep. We're seeking reputation our whole life. Some of us just want to minister to feel more spiritual, and people go, wow, you're awesome. And He said, make yourself of no reputation. And we're trying to find it because the fall of man lost man's identity, and man's trying to find himself all the way through life. You find yourself through Jesus, and the rat race is over. Come on, why would you press in that rat race? Nobody wins anyway, and even if you think you're winning, you're still a rat.
That was good.
Write this stuff down, man. Send me the tape. I'm going to preach this stuff, man. I'm preaching this stuff, man. Come on, no, I'm kidding. I'm just having fun with you guys. Do you see this isn't some heavy-duty message where you're like, can you hear us laughing? Do you see I'm lighthearted, but yet I'm serious? Because God doesn't want to overwhelm you. He's not putting bricks on your shoulder. He's speaking to your heart as a father. It's not some overwhelming lecture. You're giggling your way through surgery. You don't even know it. You're getting cut so deep, you're bleeding so much, and you're laughing. That's the kingdom of God. You're like, oh. Are you bleeding? And you leave here, and God has done crazy, incredible open-heart surgery, and you don't even feel the pain. You just know the truth. He's a good daddy. See? All you have to do is be willing to say yes to truth. That's your part. That's the part we play, man. We just get alone when ain't nobody looking. And we get sincere and upright. We ain't living in secret, in the dark, in the shadows. We get alone with Him and say, God, thank You for the value of my life. Thank You. You made me for Your glory. Man, I don't want to make it about anything else. Help me, Holy Spirit, to just walk this out and help me to look like my dad. Help me to shine like You and walk in Your love. Thank You, God. You start doing that, change everything. Faith is going to heaven, and grace is coming as the etching tool of God and sculpting and fashioning Him and making what he's believing his reality. And now he ain't even trying to be a Christian. He's just a son. Oh, dude. Okay? Yeah. Repentance and remission of sin. I keep going back here because I'm trying to get somewhere, but I'm going somewhere else every time. But it's good. I tell people I always preach good. Just confident. I don't introspect. I won't go home today and say, boy, did I miss you, God? I'll just say, boy, I hope they were listening. See, that's pride. No, it's relationship. You guys are amazing. Serious. The first service was amazing. I said this to you. I said, man, when you preach, you perceive everything. You have no idea. I have this ability, and don't get freaked out by this. I see what's going on in almost everybody. You'd be amazed. I could stop while I'm preaching and tell you what you're thinking sometimes. God just gives me that perception. That's not to weird you out right now. And if you were thinking really bad, it's okay. Because I saw two of you. No. Serious. God shows me what's going on inside of people. And you can tell when you're being resisted or received. It doesn't change me. It doesn't change truth. I'll still preach the same. But my heart cares. And I'm excited when people are like sponges. When there's resistance, it doesn't matter to me because you have to sow the seed of truth to bring change. Without truth, there's no change. Without truth, there's no freedom. So my issue isn't if somebody's resisting. My issue is, did I give truth? Because you'd be amazed. You could think you're resisting and God's getting in you. Because His love is way greater than your resistance. And He will call you into accountability and give you every opportunity to see clear. He will make it so evident to you that when you do finally make a choice, it is straight up a choice, not deception. That's how much He loves you. So I'm just honored to be in this position, and I'm pumped because you guys were set up. Because truth's coming. But here's what I've perceived in this house in both services. Amazing sponge people that are going after God, that just want truth. I have... Some of the things I've said are very sharp and very cutting and very convicting, but they're coming out lighthearted and they're not hard to hear. It's because of where your hearts are. It's not just the way I'm saying it, because I'm not saying it to hurt you. I'm saying it to help you. So that helps. My motive is clear. So grace is on what I'm saying. But I can tell corporately your hearts are awesome, and I commend you for that. You guys want truth. That's why I'm bringing it, and that's why I go off on these little sidetracks, because I'm trying to preach something right now, and I ain't getting there. Why? Because you guys are in a position to hear all these things that I'm saying, and it's hitting the mark. So I commend you for that. I promise you I'm not preaching to a wall. I'm preaching to God's people. And that pleases me. That excites me. And I commend you for that. Yeah, I'm not saying that to get you to like me. You already do. Don't hear me as proud. I'm just very confident in the Lord. Confidence and arrogance are two different things, man. How can't you not like Jesus? Take a good look. No. I see him all the time. I look in the mirror every day. I'm like, whoa. You look real close and in your eyes. You say, shouldn't you behold us in a mirror? The glory of the Lord? Pastor Jimmy, aren't we being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even by his spirit that's in us working? Why? Because we yield to him, because all clay does is yield. All clay does is make itself pliable and available to the creativity and the master potter. Amen. And you just put yourself in his hand and he fashions you. And all you do is yield. You don't try hard, you yield. Repentance, remission of sin. Repentance, remission of sin. We've done good telling people they need to change, going on street corners, shouting all these condemning scriptures, actually, in my opinion, telling people where they're not. They all, or where they are, or where they're not. They already know that stuff. But they don't know the good news. It starts to become a doctrine to them. It creates a thing in them. The way we present the gospel, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, not pointing out their dirt. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You don't judge them to change them, and you don't fear them into the kingdom by preaching hell. Because if you fear them into the kingdom because of preaching hell, they're not coming because of God's love, and they'll never be changed into love because they don't even know God's love. They're just here because they're scared. But perfect love casts out fear. Is there still a reality of hell? Absolutely. But if you preach the goodness of God, men don't need the motivation of hell. They're not going to live as a false god. They're going to live as a son. So hell's not even the issue. The kingdom's the issue. People say, I'm a little concerned. Do you believe about hell? Because there's people out there that don't believe in hell. Do you believe about hell? You never talk about it. I said, absolutely. I believe it's all through the Bible. It's in the Bible. I said, it's not what Jesus preached to get men to heaven. There's warnings in your Bible, but it's not what he preaches to the church to get them to heaven. He doesn't preach hell to get you to heaven. He preaches the good news. He preaches, I love you. You're more than you are living. Your attitudes can change. Take of me. Take of my yoke and my burden. It's easy. It's light. Because the way you're living is heavy and it's crushing you. Because it's all about you. Become love and it's simple and free and flowing. My yoke. Get yoked up to love, to mercy, to forgiveness, and you'll have no more issues. And you'll always see the best in people. And you'll always have an unveiled face to approach me. Simple. Oh my goodness. We've done good preaching that men need to change, but we haven't done as well at large. I'm not saying this church, I don't know you guys. But we haven't at large done well in preaching the clear forgiveness of sins. If I'm forgiven of sin, then sin's no longer my issue. I'm not trying not to sin. I'm enjoying being an accepted son. And in enjoying being an accepted son, I will begin to live free from the sins that so easily entangled me. Why? Because I see different, live different, my desires change, and I'm going to walk in holiness because I live righteous. Now I'm not trying to live the Christian life. I'm enjoying being saved. I don't wake up and try not to sin. I wake up and go, wow, God, thank you that you love me. Man, another day, what a gift. We can leave an eternal legacy. Thanks for walking with me. Thank you for writing on the pages of men's hearts. Thank you for writing in eternity that brings glory to your name, because today's going to make a difference. Today's going to matter. We're going to sow seed. We're going to love. We're going to show mercy. People are going to know you are because I am in you and you are in me. That's Christian prayer, guys. It's not, oh no, 6 o'clock, another day at the grindstone. Please, God, when are you going to give me a better job? Why don't you surround me with more Christians? Why do I got to work with those pagans? And I wish the car would run better. That is not Christian prayer. You guys all right? That's self-centered focus. That's a complaint session, and you're getting God to wait your table again. He's not your busboy. He's your Father. And Jesus is your model for life. He modeled a life that we were designed to live, and we follow Him. Yay. And I'll tell you what, not everybody treated Him right. But He walked in unfailing love. And He did good, and they didn't think it was good, and they talked like it was bad. But He stayed good. See, because the kingdom understands and never lets sin against it produce sin in it. You don't let sin against you produce sin in you. That's the justification for your flesh, and you'll slip out of the image of God and you'll just put on you. And you'll be a product of their wrong instead of a revelation of His right. Come on, I'm preaching at you a little bit. So here's the deal. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us of all sin, guys. Romans 6 says, you reckon yourself dead indeed to sin and alive to God. You will never grow in intimacy and relationship with God trying to stop sinning. You will do it by receiving His love and thanking Him the blood was enough. Does that give you permission to sin? That gives you every reason to change. I have not found a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free from it. It's called the gospel. Look, I don't care what you believe. Time will tell. My life's so squeaky clean, it's scary. I live a way most Christians believe is impossible. I squeak when I walk. I'm serious. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. You can say I'm in denial. You can say whatever you want. You're wrong. Because I live with me. Amen. And I have great confidence. And I'm not popping off because time will tell. I'd be a fool to pop off. I sleep with me. I wake up with me. And I like that. And when I look in the mirror, I'm pumped because guess who it is? It's me. And guess who's in me? So I'm cool hanging out with me. I've learned a lot of Christians don't even like who they are. Can't even look in the mirror. Wish they were changed. No, I love myself in Him. And now I can finally love my neighbor as myself. Because if I don't like who I am, how do I get a clear view of you? How can I fulfill the great commission and call to love God and love you as myself if I don't like me? Because I'll see you the way I see me, and I'll find out what's wrong with you because that's what I see in me. And I'll nitpick and fault-find and gossip because it takes the pressure off of me, and at least I'm not so bad. There's other people in the boat. The clearer I see who I am in Him, the better view I have of you. And now I'm positioned to love. Come on, I'm preaching straight up gospel truth to you. Your spirit can hear it. The war with sin is over for me. I have reckoned myself dead to it and alive unto God. I can share so many scriptures with you. 1 Peter 2 says, He bore your sin and my sin in His body on a tree. Where's our sin? So that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By stripes we're healed. What are we? Righteous. We have been made right before our God to bear the fruit of right standing. What's the fruit of right standing? The expression of the nature of God. Righteousness has two meanings. Righteousness in its purest first sense means to be made right with God without any sense of guilt, condemnation, and shame. The work of righteousness, the expression of righteousness, is any manifestation of the attribute of God. That's the fruit of righteousness. So why do I bear righteous fruit? Because I'm a righteous tree. I'm not trying to be a Christian. I'm a son. Accepted in the Beloved, He said so. I've received it by faith, and I'm walking in Him. Come on, it's all through the Bible. The Bible says that you were alienated and wicked by the works that was in your mind. And yet He reconciled you through the body of His flesh, through death, through the body of His flesh and death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith and aren't moved away from the hope in which you've heard. How do I destroy strongholds and cycles in my life? If they try to pop up in the beginning of my salvation and try to tell me who I am, even if I act on one, I don't get naked and cover myself with fig leaves and run from God. I run right to Him and say, Father, You put light in my life. You've shown me this is not who I am. That was who I used to be. God, I have no desire for this, that I'm more than this, because who You are in me is greater. Thank You for loving me, washing me, cleansing me, and empowering me by Your Spirit. I'm a wiser and sharper man because of You. Thanks for Your love. You say, you pray like that, if you'd miss it, there's no other Bible way. What do? Cry for 3 days, lose your identity, call 4 friends and tell them what a loser you are? That is twisted and it's deception. You don't let sin ever again identify you. You let the finished work of Christ tell you who you are, and you are righteous in His sight. You are not a mistake waiting to happen. You are a son in the making. You are manifesting Him. If your heart's sincere and pure, you can grab what I'm saying. If your heart's not sincere and pure, you can try to use this as a reason to remain the same and just have a confession, but your conscience knows it and you're still not okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So God's committed every man to their conscience. You following me? Come on. Jesus loves us. While we were yet sinners, He sent the Son. His work is enough. You have to start where He finished if you're going to run well. You can't add to His finished work. You can't add to what's finished. You just step in and run. Romans says you die in the likeness of His death. You get baptized and buried into His baptism, into His death. And the death He died to sin once and for all. So you die with Him, knowing if you die with Him, truly you'll live, because you'll raise in the newness of life and you'll raise in the resurrection power of Christ. It's all in Romans 6. It says, don't ever again present your members as sinful and unto unrighteousness. You present your members as righteous for obedience and holiness. So every day you wake up, Father, thank You, I'm washed clean. Thank You, You've purified and cleansed my heart. You put a desire for You in me because You've loved me first and know, my, I love You. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've done for me. Thank You, I'm spotless and pure. You see me as if I've never eaten that tree, as if I was never born into Adam. I am born again. I'm Your child and I'm excited and You live in me. We're going to have an amazing day. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Let me see into the hearts of men. Let me behold what You view every time You look. God, thank You for oneness and covenant. I am so blessed to be alive. Or what people are saying or aren't saying. Just lost your job, car ain't running good, all those things. All of a sudden, you let them matter instead of what matters. And all of a sudden, you run God through the eye of the needle of your stuff instead of your stuff through the eye of the needle of God. Oh, I hope I preach this stuff again, man. It's good stuff. It's good stuff, man. You see, it's already finished. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel, it's Romans 1. It's the power of God unto salvation. Why is it the power of God unto salvation? For those that you have to believe it. Doesn't say you have to feel it. Let's stop living by our feelings, church. Feelings are fun if they're redeemed and channeled through God. I feel God all the time, but I don't have to. I don't live by my feelings. I'm not doing okay because I feel okay. I'm doing okay because He says I'm okay. I don't feel worthy because I feel so. I'm not worthy because I feel so worthy. I'm worthy because He made me worthy. And because I believe it, I start understanding that and I walk worthy. You say, but I never felt the love of God. Believe the love of God. But please pray for me so I feel the love of God. I will not cause you to be a sensual addict. No, I'm not doing that. Because every time you don't feel good, you'll need prayer again. And you'll need somebody to touch you to feel fuzzy. And you'll live by the feeling and just need another hit of the manifestation of God. Instead of just believe and live in faith and be unmovable and unshakable. And you make yourself a target for the devil. Because he'll just work on you and press you and drive you by your feelings. No, you live by your faith, not feeling God's love. I feel God's love all the time. It's ridiculous how I feel God's love. But he knows that I believe his love way before I feel it. I didn't feel his love like I experienced him in the intimate way that I do in the beginning. I just said, yay, wow. Went in my bedroom, I believe it. Whoa, I'm never going to be the same. My life's changed forever. God, you're amazing. And all of a sudden grace went, and the light came on, and I went, yeah. Now I'm not trying to believe. It's just the way it is. I'm not trying to believe every day, I'm a son, I'm a son, I'm a son, I'm a son, I'm a son. Are you kidding me? I'm a son. You got that. You guys okay? Listen, I realize some of us have been through hell, hardships, physical stuff, natural stuff. All those things ought to make a draw on who He is in us. And even though we know some of those things need to change and there's promises for them to change, don't let them change you until they change. Come on, when you squeeze an orange, what do you get? What kind of juice? Well, that's not too deep, is it? That's not rocket science. When you squeeze an orange, honey, what do you get? Orange juice. Now, if you squeezed an orange this morning for breakfast and you put it to your lips and drank it and it was apple juice, you'd have probably spit it back in the cup, right? And you'd have went, phew, because your mind knows it's an orange. And when you'd have went, what? And you'd have probably called a friend. And they'd have probably prayed for you and said, she's losing it. I squeezed an orange and it's apple juice. Well, shakarabaka sataba. I'm making a point here. When you squeeze an orange, what do you expect? So if it's apple juice, it's weird. Well, when you squeeze a Christian, why isn't it weird when everything but Christ comes out? That should be so weird. Wonder if the devil's learned to squeeze us and find out what we understand, what we're made of, and what we're motivated by. Wonder if we're just a squeeze away from being exposed. So are we picking a fight? No, but we sure ain't afraid to be squeezed. Go ahead, take your best squeeze. See what's in me. Because you'll have Jesus all over the room. See? See, I'm not being cocky and arrogant. I've been this way 17 years. The devil knows exactly what I'm saying, and so does God. Sometimes Christians just struggle with it a little. Because if I was arrogant right now, I'd be run over like a Mack truck. The devil would have crushed me a long time ago. See, he knows to watch how he squeezes me now. You need to feed on his fear. You need to learn that he is freaked out by Jesus. And he wants to make sure you never know what he knows. He wants to make sure you never see the Jesus he knows. The one that kicked him out of heaven and he has no chance. He will be chained in fire forever and can do nothing about it and yet wants you to run afraid when you're his kids. The devil wants you to run scared because of him when he is bound to eternal fire and chains and can do nothing about it. He cannot create enough strategy in war against God to stop that day from coming. And yet people made in God's image are afraid of the devil. What a liar. He wants you in fear because it's a sign of self stuff. Me, me, me. The only reason he goes boo in men's lives is because they go, ah! And if you don't go, ah, he still comes. He just is a snake in the grass. He tries to move through deception and subtlety. But I'll tell you what, if you're surrendered and committed and you stay in fellowship with God and continue in that place of the truth, he just might be touching you to break you, but he might be running a risk of making you. And he might realize the more he touches you, the more you look like your father. So you're not a man with a problem, you're a man with an answer, because you've surrendered your life and it's not even about you. So is our problem the devil or is our problem believing the gospel? Wow. It's what you say, church, we believe the gospel. What do you say, come hell or high water, we walk this thing in integrity. What do you say we refuse to be refused and get disheartened and just feel like we always need ministry? Wonder if we just step up and let who He is in us begin to grow and develop so that in the midst of trial and trouble, we have something to show that when the cup is filled, it's Jesus in there. Not apple juice, orange. You get it? Listen, God loves us. He doesn't remember your sin. He removed your sin. If you're cleansed of all unrighteousness, there can't be unrighteousness remaining. You're not a dirty rag. You're a white clothing cloth.
Yeah.
You are spotless. You are holy. You wear righteousness. You have garments of salvation. You look so good to Him. He has dressed you finely. You ought to put on the garments and shine. Stop saying why you can't be okay. Stop saying why you can't be loved. Stop saying why you messed up so bad. It's amazing God would love me. He knows who you are in Him. Receive it and say yes. You hear me? Reckon yourself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation for them that believe what? That in it righteousness is revealed. For the kingdom of God is not meat, Romans 14, kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you hear how progressive that is? When you're made right with God, you have peace with God. When you have peace with God, you have joy in His Spirit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first what? Blessings? Answers to prayer? Provisions? Your ducks in a row? No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And everything else falls into place. You guys ready to run this race? Okay. What time do you guys usually wrap up? I'm late, ain't I? Okay, good. I want to close and I want to pray, but I want to do something real quick. Can I? It's a few minutes. It's not a ton of people. Well, it's a handful, but it's not a ton. There's a lot we can do on a Sunday morning. It's just one morning. We got children, we got families, we got schedules. There's so much you can do in a session like this. But the key is to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and leave here looking more like Him. There's something in my heart. I did it in the conference and it's on my heart now and I'm not going to run from it. I tried to. You see me try to run from it? I tried. It just seems like it'll take too long, but I that's me talking. It's funny how you can still have the ability to think that way, but God's relentless on it. The gospel is such an amazing thing. You don't just drink the cup, you eat the bread too. The blood and the body symbolizes the total redemption of man, the making new of all things. That's where the healing comes from. That's why we pray for the sick, because we live for righteousness, our sins are forgiven, and by His stripes we are. That's not there by accident. He didn't pull out Isaiah 53:5 by accident and tag it at 1 Peter 2. He said it because the remission of sins, when sins are removed, then all the effects of the fall of man must be destroyed by the same grace and finished work of the gospel. You don't just drink His blood, you eat His flesh too. The blood was shed to forgive the act of sin. The body was given to remove the effects and penalty of sin. So He bore in His body the marks and the effects and the penalty of man's transgressions. And by hanging on a cross, He became sin, and anything hanging on a pole is cursed by God. So He didn't curse His Son, He cursed what was killing us, sin. So God cursed sin in the flesh. Sin shall have no dominion over you, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Yay! That's a mouthful. So He became what we were, so we could become what He is, a son, redeemed and holy and pure. So God put Him that knew no sin on a tree, so that we could become righteous in God's sight. True? So did He just curse His Son and kill His Son on the cross? He cursed and killed sin. Its voice, its sting, its stain, and its power. And sin shall have no dominion over me. Oh! There's people. This is a message that is, I'm not just praying for the sick right now. I want you to pay attention. I don't just want the sick to come up front right now. I want the specific thing to come up front. I'm talking to a specific person, people. Close to 15. close to around 15 people. I'm settling on 15. Not that we're going to count. There's people. Remember how I talked about regret earlier? Regret destroys you. Can you change where you've been and what you've done? But you can change, right? Now here's the deal. I've learned that some people have been places and done things, and it's cost them, it's bit them, and it's marked them. And since then, they got saved, and they got right with God and born again. Their hearts are changed, and they regret what they did, but they're still carrying the mark of what they did, and it's a constant reminder. And they try to turn it into a testimony. But here's my beef. What the blood forgives, the body removes. If old things pass away and all things become new, and if you'll never answer for where you were and what you did, then why is it still speaking in your flesh? If it's forgotten and forgiven, why does it still have a voice in your body when your spirit, soul, and body is blameless till the coming of the Son? Oh, I'm preaching the gospel. It's called the redemption of man. Old things pass away and all things become new. There's people that have done things. Some people have gone out and made mistakes in their life, and that mistake bit them like a viper and marked them. You could have hurt your lungs, your body. I just talked to a man yesterday. He smoked a long time, and his lungs were so constricted that he was limited breathing in. And he came up to the altar the other night. We had this altar call, and he said his lungs just opened wide. He can breathe like he could breathe when he was before he ever smoked. Why? Because God will never, ever cause him to answer for whatever he was doing. And I'm not about, you know, do you smoke? Don't you smoke? You ought to not smoke. I don't even preach that stuff. It violated his conscience. He got to a place where he felt like he was hurting his body and I shouldn't do this. I need to put it away. When he put it away, he realized it cost his body something in the process. On that night, he said, wow, God, you forgave me of that. I'm not the same person. I'm changed. So why would I be judged for the man that did that instead of the man that's changed? So what the blood forgives, the body removes. So he came up to the altar and his lungs opened wide. That should always happen. That's normal. Hepatitis should come out of your blood. If you're not using drugs anymore and you're not sticking dirty needles in your veins anymore and you have no desire anymore and you wish you didn't, then why is hepatitis still speaking in your blood? If old things pass away, then all things, how many things? Ought to be new, because if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation that never existed before. It's the power of water baptism. You go under and everything that's old dies, and when you come up, you're squeaky clean and brand new. We have baptized lots of young ladies that were into the seasons of cutting and darkness, and we baptize them in water, and when they come out, all their scars are gone. Well, that should be. That should be normal. That shouldn't even be, oh my gosh. That should be, yeah. Because everything's new. Why should they have to look at their arms the rest of their life and make up for that day with their conversations and try to explain and think about it? I understand people get so free and so okay that they don't mind and they actually say, look, I used to do this and use it and talk to other young girls. I understand that. But there's the reality is a lot of people are looking going, I wish I never did that to my one God-given body. And God says, well, you're not the person that did. I was in a service and a young man had a big purple railroad track on his forearm. And as we prayed, we watched it disappear to where you had to start looking for it to even see it. And his mom standing there freaking out and bawling. The girl standing beside him had 20 slices down her thighs and they all disappeared. Now I'm either lying and I need counsel and help. I'm telling you the truth. Time will tell. Don't work too hard trying to figure it out. Time will tell. We shouldn't be afraid of testimonies. We ought to already believe this stuff happens. We shouldn't hear a testimony about healing a cancer and say, I wonder if that's true. We ought to say, yeah, because Jesus is Lord and he's the healer and he does things. Why do we fight with testimonies? It just proves we don't even hardly believe the word of God. STDs is another one, man. I found that there's people carrying STDs from mistakes they made in their lives. There's people in their 40s and 50s carrying STDs from their teenage years. And I have watched countless STDs come out of people's bodies. People in their 50s, it just comes right out of their blood. Why? Because they'll never answer for the day they were 17. They will answer for the day they were changed. So why is the STD still shouting in your blood? Probably ought to go like right now. I'm real serious about this thing. Because I don't like people carrying the marks of yesterday if all things are new. Because I know what it does to a lot of people. A lot of people are already fighting to stay in a healthy identity. But when those things rise up and a little herpes outbreaks comes and a little thing comes, then they get regretful and they get a flashback of when they were there and they wish and they wonder and it cuts into their life. What needs to get out of their life because all things are new. And we just need to get aggressive and start loving each other with the gospel. And not be ashamed of where we've been and what happened to us, but be excited about who we've become and what God wants to do. Some people have hurt their memory doing too many of something and too much of something. They feel like their memory's hurt. They can't sleep anymore. They've violated their flow of their body through abuse. And God just wants to make it right. You following me? Tell a story of a lady a long time ago. She grabbed me in an altar call like this and she tugged me and started crying. I was going down. I said, I don't need to know what's wrong with you. I don't need to know where you've been. That's none of my business. I'm excited you're in the kingdom and I'm excited you're God's kids. And I'm just moving, redeeming. I got this lady. She grabbed my arm and pulled me in and started bawling. And I said, what, honey? She said, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm really not that kind of girl. And I knew what she meant right away. She was 52 years old. I found that out later. She was married 30 years. Her husband left her. She got insecure and thought maybe if a man would want me, I'd feel like a woman again. She never did anything like that in her whole life. But in a moment of weakness, she went out and found a fellow who was obliged to meet her need. And in the process of what she was doing, she felt awful, dirty, defiled, and thought, oh my God, this is not the answer. And she was horrified. And she pulled herself out of that position and she went home horrified. Only to find out she contracted an incurable STD. One day, one moment, in an hour of vulnerability and weakness, she dabbled out of bounds and a snake bit her, called sin. Some people played there for years and never got bit. She went there for 10 minutes and got bit for life. And she's crying, I'm not that kind of girl. And I said, I get it, honey, I understand. And she whispered her story in my ear. I didn't need her to hear her story. I'm glad she told it now. She told the story. I looked at her. I said, listen to me. Look at me. Got real aggressive. I was ready, baby. Because I understand God's love for her. Not because I'm a powerful man of God. Because God loves her. And He gave life for her. And His Spirit's ready to rock that thing and drive it out. Because He's amazing. And Holy Spirit is not intimidated by an incurable STD. He's ready to smoke that thing. Yeah. And I looked at her and I said, you look at me. And I didn't smile anymore. I said, you look at me right in my eyes. That's coming out of you. Do you get it? It's coming out of you and there's nothing no one can do about it. It's just what I said to her. You say, oh, that's pride. You tell the STD that. You get out of her now. You never touch her again. She is a woman of God. She learned a painful lesson, but a lesson nonetheless. You go. And I went down the line, kept praying. I went back to that church 6 weeks later. She's running to me. I'm like, I don't need much discernment for this one. I'm like, well, hi, honey. She says, guess what? Tell me. Watch this. She said they ran every sort of test. It's not there. They can't find it. It's not there. I said, of course it's not. Do you know why? She said, because God is amazing. Because His love is unfailing. Because He's so good. I said, that's all true and all right. But let me tell you why it's not there. Because you're not that kind of girl. And she went, because God is all those things, isn't He? But the only way those things manifest is when we come into agreement. God asked me one time if I know why I live the way I do. He knows what He was saying. I know what He meant. You might not totally know. You might just get a glimpse from this morning. But I know the consistency of my life. I've lived with me for 17 years, and I don't even know one of these. I've just known Him. 17 years. I have no need to lie to you and get your temporal woe. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm impressed. He said, do you know why you live the way you do, Dan? And I said, yeah, because you're awesome. Your grace is sufficient. And I started giving him glory like you would have. And he chuckled and said, well, I know what you're saying and they're all the right answers. But the reason you live the way you do is because the moment you were saved, you were sin conscious for a moment. And the moment I saved you, you've been a son in your heart ever since. And then you're positioned to receive all the things you just said about me. Because I'm always all those things. But I can be faithful and you might not walk in His faithfulness. He might be love and you might not walk in His love. His grace might be sufficient and you might not walk in His grace. So God wasn't asking me to honor Him and give Him honor. He was asking me a straight up question. Do you know why you live the way you do? I'm thinking, yeah, because you're who you are. He said, no, Dan, because you're not sin conscious. You're a son, and now you can receive everything that's in this package. Wow. I want to pray real quick. If you're carrying a mark in your body from yesteryear, whether it's in your blood, in your flesh, in your organs, in your memory, in your dreams, if you have something that you relive in your being from where you've been and you've been born again since and it's never left you alone, STD, hepatitis, blood disease, anything, I need to pray for you real quick. Don't you sit there and say, I don't want people to think what's wrong with me, where I've been, what I've been. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's not about that. Come on, we're over shame a long time ago. Amen. Thanks for your humility. I need you up here quickly. I know there's at least 15 people. It's not a shameful thing. It's not shame on you. It's yay for you. Because I'm proud of you for coming up here. And I'm glad that you're willing to come up here. Because here's what you're saying by coming up here. You're saying, it's not who I am. This is not who I am. Something's called change has taken place in me. Is that true?
True.
And you're ready for it, right?
Yes.
God's going to wash over you right now. I don't even know that I have to touch all of you. I'm telling you, you can receive this while you're standing here because His mercy is amazing. Now watch. Do you see how many people are living daily with a memory from yesterday in their flesh? Do you see that this message is the Word of God? It's the will of God. Why isn't it just a healing message? Because sometimes because of the way it came, we feel subtly, subconsciously feel like we earned it and it's our bed and we got to sleep in it. And I promise you, He made a brand new bed and the sheets are clean, so we're getting in it. You're not reaping what you sowed, you're reaping what He sowed. Yahoo! Do you get it? Now listen. I need you to right now get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes off me. Get your eyes off each other and just close them. Whatever you have to do to get focused. And just thank God right now that He loves you. Thank God that He doesn't hold you accountable for sin. Thank God that He forgives you of everything you've ever done and every place you've ever been outside of His will. Thank Him that it'll never be mentioned ever in His presence. And thank Him that if it won't be mentioned in His presence, it shouldn't be mentioned in your flesh. And thank Him that you realize you're a new creation because you're in Christ. Old things are gone and new things have come. I want you as a sign of just yielding and humility, lift your hands to Father and thank Him for loving you. Thank Him for washing over you. Thank Him for forgiving you and making you clean, okay? I'm just going to do this fast. I'm just going to walk down. I don't have to take long. It's not some fire and lightning thing. It's redemption. It's the power of God. It's truth that makes men free. I've seen countless people healed of hepatitis and STDs. I get emails all the time that it's not in people's blood. And you know what they say? They say, the doctor said this is strange. You don't have any markers or antibodies. It's as if you never had it. Why? Because it's as if they never sinned. Whoa! So I'm just going to pray over you guys quick. You just receive love. Some of you things are changing before I get there. It's not about me and you. It's about you believing Him. You get that? So Father, I just thank you for the redemption. I won't need you, bud. It's okay. I just thank you for your redemption right now, God. I just thank you, Father, for making your kids clean. I thank you for washing through them right now in the authority of Jesus. That's right. Wash pure. White as snow, kiddo. Whoa, that's really good. White. Man, He loves you. You know that, don't you? Yeah, because boy, His love's there just rushing on you. Whew. I was hearing him singing this little song. I make all things new. I make all things new. When I make all things new, I see you. Who you've always been in me. Who you always are. I make all things new.
This is just your little sweet little song for you. Jesus, thank you.
Don't get impersonal if I don't do something like that over you. That's nothing. Just, you know, I'm just going down through. If I hear something, I got to go with it. Man, I love you guys. Father, I thank you. I will never lay hands on them again for this thing. I thank you. Today is the day. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, Brent. You came over to Pastor and said, today is the day. Now is the time. Well, I'm just going to release that over you as well. Today is the day. Now is the time. This thing change. Come out of their marriage. Jesus' name. Come out of Brent. Come out of Becky. Come out of their marriage. Come out of their lives. And don't you ever, ever return. Father, thank you for the redemption. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm so proud of you guys for coming up here. Man, because you're saying it's not who I am. I'm redeemable. I'm lovable. I'm worth redemption. Restored in Jesus' name. Restored. Never again to regret, honey. You just be God's girl. Daddy's little girl. Come on, daddy's little girl. Daddy's little girl is going to make the difference. Yeah. That's exactly who you are. You know what God's making you right now? A woman that's never been anywhere but in Him. How's that for good? I'm telling you, He's doing it. He's going to make it real right here. Not just in your heart, right here, He's making it real. Yeah. I tell you what, if the devil be so foolish to ever give you a flashback, truth is going to pour out of your mouth like a fountain. Yeah. And you're going to say, God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for redeeming me. God, thank you. I'm a brand new person. Saved, redeemed, restored. Ah! And you are going to freak your own heart out and the devil. I'm telling you, if you would ever get a flashback, truth's going to pour out of you. You don't need prayer. You need truth. Because if it makes your heart feel bad, it's not you. Whoa. You get that? Come on, little fountain of truth. Bubble over. In Jesus' name, be whole. Be completely whole. Completely free in the matter. Free in the matter. That's right. Cleansed and washed. Never the same. You really love the Word, girl. You have an ear to hear God's Word. I really appreciated your heart the whole service. I'm glad I get the honor of touching you. That thing's coming out of your life, out of your body. I'm telling you, it's coming out. It doesn't have a choice. It's not up for debate. Go. In the authority of Jesus' name, loose her and let her go. And don't ever, ever be found in her again. In Jesus' name. That's really good, isn't it? God, let your comfort, let your grace, let your wisdom explode in her. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah. You're funny. You're so precious. She grabbed my hand like you got to reinforce this, huh? Holy Spirit, wash her. Thank you. Redeem through the blood. The blood. It's not about where you've been, honey. It's about where He's been. You're brand new. You're not looking back. Neither will your flesh. In Jesus' name, be whole. Be clean. Be washed. Be clean. Be absolutely brand new. Wash your kids, God. Total redemption. To some of you, this just looks like an altar call and prayer. You'll see. It's way more. You better get better vision than what looks like on the surface. I've been doing this a long time. You ought to see what God is doing in His people.